You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
It's like I never left. Welcome into the Gym Class on a Friday at 3:04. Spencer Wagon in for Scott Unash here this afternoon. Mark Dukes joining me in the studio as well as we come to you from the Circus Sports Iowa studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Glad to be with you here today with you till 4 o'clock. Lots to get to. We got our Emil's Hideaway pick six coming up just after bottom of the hour. Now, Mark, Scott is not here. I don't know the protocols for that. He did send me his picks.
Okay.
So we have his picks documented, but has this ever happened before, I guess, is my question, where he's not present for the picks? Is there some sort of like weird like penalty system or something that I don't know about?
We can impose one.
Do we want to?
It is not unprecedented, and we'll just basically reveal his picks as we go along. And good afternoon to you and everyone out there. And great to be with you, and thanks for sitting in with Scott. And Scott currently calling the Mount Vernon Harlan game for the 3A state championship. We'll give you an update on that in the Emo's Hideaway pick six.
And successful night last night for Xavier. Congratulations to the Saints on that title. Williamsburg fell short earlier today, a grinder of a football game. Following that, Jeff Johnson on Twitter, his updates from the Dome, it looked like a grinder of a game, but we'll talk more about that coming up in the pick six. Talker text line wide open for folks here today. Got lots to get to before we get to the pick six. And, Mark, big weekend of college football. We had Thursday night football last night. I spent several minutes complaining about the Packers on my show, Spencer on Sports. So listeners are just excited to hear me moan and groan about Green Bay being terrible and all that good stuff. But we'll get to that. Surprising result last night in women's basketball, too. We knew it was going to be a tough game, but maybe not the result that we saw with Iowa going down to Kansas State on the women's side. We'll get to that coming up later on as well. But before we continue the show, of course, brought to you by DuPaco Community Credit Union here on KGYM. We thank them for their support. If you want more information about them, head to our website at kgymradio.com. But let's start with college football. Of course, the Before the Boom podcast is out, available for you at kgymradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to watch the video form, we had a special visitor in studio. Not a human visitor, but it was the replica Floyd of Rosedale that graces our presence here in the studio. And the real thing is what's on the line tomorrow in the Twin Cities, Mark, at a frigid Huntington Bank Stadium.
I checked the Minneapolis forecast for 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
14 degrees.
Ooh.
And what we haven't talked a whole lot about, 17 mile an hour winds.
Ooh, okay.
So that could very well factor in perhaps our picks on the Emil's Hideaway pick six. Perhaps the game itself, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that wind could be a factor in many facets.
Yeah, not just like a 5-mile-an-hour little breeze. 17 is pretty significant. And, you of course, it's that time of year you start talking about wind chill. Everybody's favorite two words in the weather language out there. It's going to make it feel a whole heck of a lot colder, especially as you know, you get later in the day, sunsets. I don't know what sunset is in Minneapolis, but I'm sure it's not a late sunset by any means. So it's going to be a chilly one.
It's not going to be paradise in Ames either.
No, no. They have a 6 p.m. kickoff in Ames, and no sun whatsoever as that game kicks off out in Ames. But we talked, of course, about this game on the podcast at, well, of course, spoil the podcast. We'd love for you to download it or listen to it at your leisure. But I said this on Spencer on Sports last hour. It feels like the same kind of playbook, right, for this game compared to last week. Stop the run. Get pressure on the quarterback. There have been reports and some folks in the know saying it sounds like the freshman, Callie Ekmanis, is going to get the start over Tanner Morgan. Whether that actually happens, you know, you know, I don't think the Gophers are going to come right out and say, you know, who it's going to be. It's going to be one of those where we wait till kickoff to see it. But, you know, it feels like kind of the same playbook. Stop the run, pressure the quarterback. Defense and special teams is going to play a big factor in this.
Yeah, it is like a rewind to last week when we talked about Iowa needing to stop Braylon Allen and his running mate for Wisconsin and force Graham Mertz to beat the Hawkeyes, and that did not happen. Now it's this week, and maybe the premier running back in the Big Ten, Mo Ibrahim, you know, Blake Corum has something to say about that, and Chase Brown, among others. Seems like each and every week we're talking about the opponent's running back and the necessity to stop that particular player and make the quarterback beat him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really surprised if Tanner Morgan doesn't go because he is a senior. Senior day and all that. We talk about that on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me that he's physically unable to go if what you say is true.
Yeah, it was Ryan Burns, who joined Todd and Alex yesterday on their show, said that he has a gut feeling it's going to be Callie McManus. And then this morning I saw a tweet from an account called the Gopher Guys. I don't know their credibility. I don't know their status when it comes to the media world, so I don't want to take it as gospel and then be burned tomorrow morning where Tanner Morgan or tomorrow afternoon where Tanner Morgan runs out of the tunnel and takes the first snap of the game. But there was a report from them that said Callie McManus indeed is going to be the starter on Twitter, or that report coming on Twitter with him being the starter for P.J. Fleck and the Gophers tomorrow against the Hawkeyes. So love to hear from you on the Talker text line. Is it do you think, listeners out there, 319-366-1600, that is the same playbook? Stop the run, pressure the quarterback, defense and special teams. Is that the winning recipe for an Iowa victory tomorrow? And do the Hawkeyes win tomorrow and keep Floyd home? 319-366-1600. Love to hear your thoughts here this afternoon.
I think that's part of the recipe and a big part of the recipe, but let's not forget about this Minnesota defense, which is one of the top defenses in the country. It runs a different scheme than Wisconsin did.
Yes.
Wisconsin took a lot more risks. Perhaps Minnesota will employ some of those. I don't know. But it's more of a base defense and you beat us type thing. And, you know, the other part of the recipe that you mentioned is that I was going to be effective on offense against that defense. And that remains to be seen.
Yeah, the offensive line, we saw last week against Wisconsin. And again, Wisconsin, like you said, takes risks. They blitz. They have twists and stunts. Jim Leonard and whoever the defensive coordinator is in Wisconsin always feel like they draw up something because they're so, especially against Iowa, they're so familiar with what Iowa's going to run that they know how to defend it and they defend it well. And Kirk Ferentz even said earlier this week, and we heard from him, hey, the line didn't play well, no doubt about it. And the players will tell you that too. They know they didn't play well against a solid Wisconsin team. Well, now, you know, someone on the text line earlier pointed out, hey, you know, I was going to know whether they are scoreboard watching or not. We're going to know what they need with the Illinois game concluding right before the Iowa game.
And Minnesota's in the same boat.
And Minnesota's in the same boat, too.
Although it needs a little bit more help.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as Iowa and what they need with the Illinois loss and two wins here, which is very doable for the Hawkeyes. You just got to go out and take care of business. So there are a lot of different factors that play into it. I think Iowa's defense is going to have the edge because they're very good against the run. Especially now, if Tanner Morgan does end up playing, I think Minnesota may be able to get some of that short passing game ready, you know, active and working for them. Depends on his health. Obviously, they are missing Chris Ottman-Bell, who's one of the best receivers in the Big Ten when he's healthy. We'll see him again next year. He was granted a seventh year of eligibility because of his injury earlier this year, but The Iowa offensive line has to hold up their end of the bargain. The Iowa offense in general has to hold up their end of the bargain. If the defense gives you a short field on an interception or, a nice punt return from Arlen Bruce or Cooper DeGene, you got to execute. You got to put it in the end zone and get those points on the board.
Yeah, and that wind we talk about, 15 to 17 miles an hour, it depends on if that's blowing end zone to end zone. Mm-hmm. Versus a crosswind or something, some variation of that, because obviously it's going to affect the punting and kicking game as well. It has to.
And the cold football, too. That's something we talked about in
the podcast.
When it's 15 degrees at kickoff with a wind chill of 2.
It's like this tabletop.
Yeah. Like if I teed up this tabletop here in the studio, which is a bad idea.
Or Floyd.
I think we have the watch party with Z102 2.9 tomorrow, so they are using that as a prop, and we were told we need to move Floyd to his special area for that tomorrow. But 319-366-1600 here at 315. Is the winning recipe the same recipe as last week for the Hawkeyes? Your thoughts, welcome on the Talker text line at 319-366-1600. David and Hudson saying, unfortunately, that is their only recipe, saying the offense is not going to do anything again. 85-35 also weighing in. Maybe kind of a bold prediction from 85-35. Gut feeling Iowa gets it all together and wins big. Here we are. You know, how many times is it where, with the luck we've all had with picking games this year, right? Like, I feel like, you know, you could see that. Right? Like, a couple turnovers. They do indeed force Cali Ekmanis, who did not have a good game against Northwestern. He didn't need to because it's Northwestern, but he hasn't put up the best numbers. And, you know, maybe Riley Moss gets a pick six. Maybe Kayvon Merriweather gets a pick six.
It's hard to rely on that.
Right.
But Iowa's done it so often over the years that you almost come to expect something like that happening, whether it's a punt return or an interception return like DeGene had last week. Now, Arlen Bruce, as you mentioned, apparently going to be available. I don't think I'd take DeGene out of that punt return spot.
No.
After what he did last week. Matt in Fairfax weighing in on the text line. Good recipe. This cold Hawks can't turn the ball over either. Got to keep our defense off the field as much as possible to stay warm and rested.
Yeah, if Minnesota gets home and, Spencer Petras was sacked, six times last week? You know, you got to hang on to the football. And at this point of the season, honestly, the team is what the team is. We've been saying this for weeks now. There's no magic wand that's going to instantly cure all that ails them. But they just got to play to their abilities and play good football, clean football. You saw last week, Wisconsin had 3 turnovers. Iowa had 1. That 1 came in the first quarter, and it didn't hurt them in the end because Iowa won going away. I'm not saying you want to turn the ball over, but if you're going to turn the ball over, your defense needs to get turnovers, and you need to turn those into points. I mean, it's basic, football knowledge, but
Know as well as I do, the game is going to be won in the trenches.
Right.
Yep. And Iowa, without Bo Stevens at left guard, he's got an experienced replacement there in DeYoung. But it's imperative on this the Iowa offensive line to get something done,
right,
one way or another, whether it's a short field, long field, what have you. Try to get some first downs. And it's not going to be easy against this Minnesota defense. So, yeah, more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like last week.
319-366-1600, 3349, pointing out that the surface, the playing field, is heated at Huntington Bank. For those of you who don't know, they send out note packages to us here in the media. The teams do, so we sound more intelligent than we actually are. But it helps us with our game prep and podcasts and stuff like that. And they have a whole page and a half on the stadium, and it's 700,000 bricks and 500 TVs, and okay, great. But they also have a little paragraph talking about the heating system, and it's some sort of, I don't have the page in front of me, but it's like a gel system in tubes underneath the field. You just think it's a grass surface sitting there, but it's stuff underneath. It's kind of
spend a few more dollars and put a dome on.
You think so, right? The Vikings not want to share anymore?
I guess not.
I wouldn't share if I were the Vikings. I've never been to U.S. Bank Stadium. I've been to the Metrodome a couple times, but I've not been to Huntington Bank Stadium either. Is it like law in Minnesota you have to name a stadium after a bank, by the way?
It's true everywhere, isn't it?
I feel like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's some weird financial company, like Acrisure. All these strange companies that have their naming rights on the sponsorships that you've never heard of, and they're like, oh yeah, that's the Steelers Stadium.
You're talking about FTX or what?
FTX, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you look at all the. I haven't read much into that, but the number of athletes that are part of a lawsuit now with FTX, yeah. Trevor Lawrence, and the entire Golden State Warriors organization.
LeBron James, yeah.
That's why I don't dabble into that kind of stuff. 309-366-1600, talking Iowa, Minnesota. If you have thoughts to share about the game, who wins and why, feel free to chime in on the talk or text line. Rest of the Big Ten, of course, the big one, Mark, Michigan and Illinois. Michigan's still, and we'll pick this one coming up on the pick six, if I'm not mistaken, but Michigan's still about a 17-point favorite, 17.5 tomorrow. I'm kind of surprised by that. I know Chase Brown isn't fully healthy. He got hurt late in that Purdue game last week, but I don't know. I feel like 17's a lot for two good defenses.
It is, and whether Illinois is in a free fall or not remains to be seen. Brett Bielema lost his mother a couple days ago. Sympathies to the Bielema family there, but whether that plays in as a factor or not, does Michigan look ahead to Ohio State?
Mm-hmm.
And as many of us have said, it's a beauty pageant these days in the college football rankings. And I suppose if Michigan can lay a knot on Illinois' head, it will.
That's true. Yeah, and who knows what will happen in the rankings preceding the big game coming up next week in Columbus. Wisconsin's at Nebraska. Badgers are double-digit favorites there. Purdue is double-digit favorites over Northwestern. Michigan State taking on a reeling Indiana team. Sparty is double-digit favorites there. Ohio State, nearly a 4-touchdown favorite against Maryland as they head to College Park there. And then Penn State, 18.5-point favorite against the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. So the closest game, at least according to the odds makers, is Iowa and Minnesota this weekend. And I think that has more to do with the weather conditions than anything else. Out west, Mark, the Big 12, Iowa State and Texas Tech, both teams needing to score some wins here for bowl eligibility. Cyclones need two. Texas Tech just needs one win to get to six wins. But for Iowa State, you got two left. Need to win both to assure yourself of a bowl game. Out of the two you have left for Iowa State, this is probably your best opportunity to win because you got potentially unbeaten TCU coming up next week in Fort Worth.
Yeah, TCU has to go to Baylor tomorrow. Iowa State, a slim field goal favorite against Texas Tech. Tech's a hard team to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And which team holds the most motivation?
You know?
You outlined it for Iowa State. Two wins to get to bowl eligibility. Not going to be easy, but this is one opportunity tomorrow night to get to five anyway.
Yeah, I mentioned this on Spencer on Sports. There's always that possibility. I know Iowa State, the players and coaches don't want to have to rely on that, but there was, I think, a story that came out a week or two ago that there's going to be more bowl slots available than bowl eligible teams. So if you get to five wins, maybe, you know, you get picked, kind of like what Rutgers had to do with, COVID related reasons last year with their trip to the Gator Bowl at just five wins. But you want to get to six.
Yeah,
I think, and we're picking this one on the pick six, so I don't want to say too much, but you're playing at home, going to be freezing. Texas Tech, I'm sure, is like, what's this weather? Matt Campbell, aside from last year where Texas Tech made a 62-yard field goal to win that one, Matt Campbell has owned Texas Tech since his teams have owned Texas Tech since he's been at Iowa State. Senior night, 18 players, including some of the guys. You know, they had a great senior class last year with Brock Purdy and Charlie Kolar and Breece Hall, of course. But some guys that you're going to be talking about for a long time when you talk about Iowa State football with Xavier Hutchinson, Will McDonald, Orion Vance, Cedar Rapids native too, among the guys that'll be playing for the final time at Jack Trice Stadium coming up tomorrow. So I think there's some added motivation there for Iowa State, especially you got to win two, and the first step to winning two is winning one. You know, I sound very Matt Campbellish in saying that, but it's the truth. You know, like it's just how you have to think of it.
It's absolutely the truth, and a lot of motivation in that regard. Senior day and whatnot, being at home, probably more used to the cold than Texas Tech is. Mm. You got to believe.
Yeah.
So we'll see. One step at a time, and the first step is tomorrow night.
Iowa State and Texas Tech. It'll be a 6 o'clock kickoff from Jack Trice. You can hear, of course, the game on KGYM tomorrow night from Learfield Sports. We'll have it for you with coverage starting at 4. We also will have the Illinois-Michigan game tomorrow morning. 10:30 pregame. ESPN Radio has got that covered for you. So Illinois-Michigan to start. We'll have Iowa State and Texas Tech to follow. We'll talk a little bit more college football, maybe get into the NFL. And I do want to get to that Iowa Kansas State women's game as well. We'll do that coming up before we bring Dave Alec in for the pick six around 3:40. But before we get to our first break, Mark, I know you got an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update for us.
I do indeed. Update from the state football playoffs. You mentioned Williamsburg falling earlier today to Clear Lake George Little Rock, 10-6 in the 2A final. Right now, 3.5 minutes left in the 3A state championship game. It's tied 23-23 between Mount Vernon and Harlan. Mount Vernon without its starting quarterback, but hanging right with the perennial tough Harlan outfit. In the Paradise Jam, Drake, big comeback against Buffalo. Drake was a double-digit favorite, but did prevail 80-72 in the first round of that tournament. And at the RSM Classic in Sea Island, Georgia, not good news for Zach Johnson. He suffered a triple bogey on the fifth hole, par four fifth hole, and that set the stage for a two over par 72. He will miss the cut on what is really a home court situation for him. I'm sure he's not happy about that's it.
Well, sometimes you just have a bad night even on your home court, your home course, I guess.
I can relate to triple bogeys, yeah.
I'm not a golf guy in the slightest, but I could relate to that in many other sports, that is for sure. 327, keep your thoughts on college football, NFL, and more. College hoops as well coming on the Talker text line at 319-366-1600. More after this. It's the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. An Arctic air has settled on in. It's going to be a cold and cloudy day. We are going to have some periods of some light snow showers and flurries. Temperatures are going to be held to around 20 degrees. Wind chills stay in the single digits. Tonight we'll have mostly cloudy skies and temperatures drop down into the low teens. Tomorrow we'll have a mix of sun and clouds. Temperatures are going to be in the low 20s. It's going to be windy. There could be some snow showers as well. And then tomorrow night we're down in the single digits. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
One of the things I love about betting on the NFL is that I'm always finding new player or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is that you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. Perfect for the Chiefs and Chargers contest. If you like Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes going over the passing yards total, Travis Kelce and Austin Eckler as anytime touchdown scores, that's an intriguing same game parlay, but there are so many more options that you can use. There's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay, so lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook. New to FanDuel? Sign up today with promo code KUHN for your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's promo code KUHN. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Iowa, first online real money wager only, $10 first deposit required, bonus issued as non-withdrawable free bets expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply, see terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
You probably know that a natural gas leak smells like rotten eggs, but what does a gas leak look or sound like? If you hear a whooshing or hissing sound, see dirt, dust, or water spraying from an area, or you get dizzy or queasy, leave the area immediately, then call 1-800-595-5325 once you're safely away. See MidAmericanEnergy.com for more safety tips.
Paid for by the customers of MidAmerican Energy.
Hurry into Menards for the last 11% off in 2022. Secure your home with our wide selection of TrueBolt lock sets and deadbolts. TrueBolt door locks provide homeowners, professional installers, and builders with quality products at an affordable price. Available in a wide variety of finishes, you'll find the perfect one to match your style. Get 11% off all TrueBolt lock sets and deadbolts at Menards. Good through November 23rd. Savings are mail-in rebates. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
When you buy your own health insurance, you deserve a doctor who's your biggest champion and coverage you can be confident in. And with new Wellmark health insurance plans featuring UnityPoint Health, that's what you can expect. These plans help you build a relationship with your UnityPoint Health primary care providers and network partners, starting with free preventive and virtual care, plus low copays for primary care with a doctor who always has your back. Connect with an agent to help you enroll at wellmark.com/UPH.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
While you're stuck in traffic trying to get into the Finkbine commuter lot, turn on the Before the Boom podcast. It's the best locally hosted Iowa pregame show available on the KGYM app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on the Gym Class, Spencer and Mark with you here until 4 o'clock. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up between 4 and 6 today. Got the Emil Sideway Pick 6 coming up in about 9 minutes or so. No Scott today, but we do have his picks. I was looking during the break, and I found them. I put them specifically in a spot, and then I forgot where that spot was. And then I'm like, there they are. So I have my picks. I have Scott's picks in my hand. I will... keep those here so I don't forget where they are again. Hey, some breaking baseball news, Mark. Mm-hmm. Do we want to talk about the Twins logo change?
It's not really radio friendly.
Yeah. In case people haven't seen it.
If you've seen the uniforms, I suppose you can weigh in on the text line 319-366-1600. I like a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the M on the dark, on the caps for the dark jerseys.
Yeah, I saw that.
It looks like Marlins to me.
Or like, yeah. Yeah, not,
it looks
yeah.
Like, meh.
It's not the same. It's the Marlins and the Brewers have kind of like a little like kind of tail on their M's, but the Brewers had it first, although the Brewers went back to their ball and glove within the last couple years,
right.
which is
nice.
I like that. That was my favorite growing up.
Well, get used to it like anything else.
Right.
You know, some people like it, some people hate it, but... We have learned maybe a player that will be in Cedar Rapids next year.
Yes. Yeah, the Twins trading, and I just scrolled off of the tweet, but they traded Gio Urshela, third baseman, to the Angels in exchange for a pitching prospect who is number 19 on the Angels' prospect list. And when I pull up his card, forgive me, I literally just scrolled off it. Here it is. Alejandro Hidalgo, the 19-year-old pitcher, in exchange for Gio Urshela. When you pull up his name on MLB Prospect Watch, the top prospects list for the Angels, his name pops up, right-handed pitcher, Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Mm.
So, is that foretelling? Obviously, we have to go through spring training and get assignments and stuff, but... There is a possibility we could have at least one of the top prospects in the Angels organization from last year.
Yeah, and I liked Urshela. He did a lot of good things last year. Hit decently and played terrifically in the field. But you're talking about money.
Yep.
You're talking prospects in the waiting for the Twins.
Right.
So I guess it makes sense, especially if Hidalgo pans out.
Hidalgo, number 22 in the top 30 for the Angels, for what it's worth. Don't know if he will be in Cedar Rapids, but a possibility, obviously, coming into the Twins. He was in High A last year. Before we get to the pick six, college hoops last night. We got Murray State and UMass on the TV here in the Myrtle Beach Invitational on the TV. But a stunner last night in Manhattan, Iowa. A number of chances. I know a lot of people are talking about the officiating. It certainly, I didn't see much of the game at all last night. But boy, it did not look evenly officiated, especially down the stretch, just from an observer here in Eastern Iowa. But that said, Iowa had a number of chances to put that one away, especially in the second half. A number of 7-point leads in that second half. I counted at least five different times. Bluters Bunch had a 5 or 7-point lead and just couldn't get it done. And Kansas State ends up winning the game 84-83. The number four Hawkeyes take their first loss.
Well, I don't think K-State had their best player either.
No.
The big center.
Yeah.
Which is a much anticipated matchup with Zanano, but. Yeah, you hit it on the head, Spencer. I mean, Iowa had all kinds of chances. And the bigger question now is the health of Caitlin Clark,
right,
who went down for the second time this year with an ankle injury.
Same one that she hurt in the Southern game, if I remember
in the opener,
correctly.
Yeah.
She, you know, there were some people saying on Twitter, she, you know, they saw her in the handshake line and she was, I'm fine, but she had to be helped off the court. Happening on the very last play of the game. Iowa's schedule getting very, very tough here, obviously, with some marquee matchups coming up. So certainly hoping for the best there. But sprained ankle, rolled ankle is one thing. Obviously, it could have been much worse, so you got to look at that side of the coin as well. But not what Iowa was hoping for with that game last night, for sure.
No, and Iowa has Belmont coming up, which is a sneaky good team, one of the Missouri Valley Conference favorites. Played Louisville, number five Louisville, to a 5-point game this year already. Belmont is 1-2, but you know, if Clark is unable to go, that's going to be I think it's going to be a tough game anyway. But you don't want the same thing that happened to Paige Beckers at Connecticut to happen to you know, anyone,
right,
let alone a Caitlin Clark. And we'll try to update you come Monday with the severity of that injury.
Yeah, we'll know more. Of course, the game is Sunday. The game against Belmont on Sunday afternoon, and we'll keep things posted there. But if she's able to play, I would imagine probably going to be maybe a limit on her, just to keep her fresh and healthy, because they've got Duke coming up, they've got Iowa State coming up, they've got NC State coming up. They got some challenging games coming up here for Iowa as they fall to 3-1 last night. And again, hosting Belmont Sunday at 2 o'clock. Iowa men back at it on Monday. I know you guys talked about it yesterday, but nice win against Seton Hall. Seton Hall, you know, I think still trying to find their footing as a basketball team with a new coach and some new players coming in. But, hey, a road win, tough environment, solid team. Can't ask for much more than that. A little bit of a break here for Iowa, but opportunity, I think, to string together some quality wins. Now, you know, I mean, you got Duke coming up, you got Georgia Tech coming up, you've got
Clemson,
you know, a ranked TCU team who's had a few struggles to start this year, but all very winnable games. If Iowa plays the way they did earlier this week against Seton Hall, I think, and building up these wins now, you know, against strong competition, Can only benefit you down the road in March. That's
no question about it. And the next foe is Omaha, and Omaha is not Duke. It should be a W for Iowa. But then the schedule gets much more difficult. Even though Clemson, Georgia Tech are not elite programs,
right,
in their respective conferences, but you know, the schedule that Fran McCaffrey has put together, I think, has made, you know, if you're an Iowa fan, you got to be excited to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're not playing UC Riverside.
Right.
And
Northern Colorado.
name a school.
I compared it the other day on Spencer on Sports, and you compare just the first four games this year with the first four games or 4 to 6 games last year. And it's Iowa's two best non-conference games last year were Virginia and Utah State. I mean, this year, like Duke alone, you know, right. Duke and then Seton Hall and Clemson and TCU and even Iowa State, you know, I mean, Iowa State was a Sweet 16 team last year. So, you know, I mean, and new faces there, of course, over in Ames, and who knows how that one's going to play out. But still, you've got so much better competition. You still have the cupcakes, obviously, like Omaha and SEMO, I think, is on the schedule. But, you know, you've got a much more challenging schedule, and you don't have to wait until the Ohio State game in, you know, mid-February to pick up your signature win, right, like you did last year for the Hawkeyes, that is for sure. 319-366-1600. 339, we got to take a break because we got to bring in Dave Alec. Pick six, Emil's Hideaway pick six, a $30 gift card to Emil's is on the line. If you hit your wagon up to the correct picker here that will make our picks coming up in just a bit, you could win that gift card to Emil's. We'll do that coming up in 60 seconds. It's the Gym Class here on KGYM.
KGYM is an equal opportunity employer. And under FCC rules, any community organization that distributes information about employment opportunities or refers people to employers may ask to be notified about job vacancies at KGYM. If your organization would like notification of KGYM's job vacancies, contact Julie Hine. Email julie@kzia.com or write her at 1110 26th Avenue Southwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52404.
This isn't just a party.
It's the super exclusive MVP We Wave Watch Party presented by U.S. Cellular.
Text WAVE PARTY to 319-200-1029 to win your way in.
That's WAVE PARTY, all one word, to 319-200-1029.
To party with us tomorrow at Hazard County Saloon.
Watch the Iowa-Minnesota game. Come dressed to win the biggest fan contest.
Enjoy food and extra chances at Hawk Sum Prizes.
Text WAVE PARTY to 319-200-1029 now
for your chance to win.
Back at 3:41 on the Gym Class, Spencer in for Scott today. Mark Dukes joining me as well. And joining us on the phone lines is Dave Alec as we reconvene at least most of the panel, Mark, for the yes. Emil's Hideaway pick six here this afternoon. Dave, how are you?
Good, thanks. On a cold and windy, cold day.
Absolutely. I'm glad we're in the warm studio. I mean, it is a little bit chilly here today. Mark, well, I'll let you do the honors. Run it down for us. So what happened last week?
Okay, what happened last week was Scott was our winner at 4-2. That meant Doug from Winthrop was the winner of a $30 gift card to Emil's. Consequently, Scott will lead off in absentia. We'll have Spencer read his pick when his spot comes around, but the order will be Scott, myself, Dave, and Spencer. When we conclude here, we'll take four callers. You can select one of the panelists, and if that panelist wins, you will win a $30 gift card to Emil's.
Very good.
Patio closed now, right, Dave?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. You're not leaving it open? Come on. Hardy Midwesterners.
All right, game one. Game one, Scott is the first selector. It is Illinois plus 17 at Michigan.
I will preface Scott's picks by saying I do not have any rationale behind them. He just sent me a list of team names and numbers, so this might be the quickest pick six in the history of the pick six. But Scott has Illinois plus 17.
Okay, Scott, by the way, calling the last few minutes or a few seconds of the 3A state championship game. Heartland has taken a 30-23 lead with less than a minute left. So tough go for Mount Vernon. I am next. 17 is an awful lot of points. I'm uncertain about Chase Brown. I'm uncertain whether Michigan will look ahead to Ohio State. But Michigan's defense is every bit as good as anyone in the league, I think. And I think it's a showtime again. Try to win the beauty pageant, and I will pick Michigan to do so and reluctantly give 17 points. Dave.
Michigan was in this same scenario last year with Ohio State in a look-ahead spot, and Michigan played one of its best games of the year, beating Maryland 59-18. This is not a look-ahead game. It's a get-ready-for-Ohio State next Saturday and a spot in the Big Ten title game and even more. Give me Michigan to win and cover.
Spencer.
Boy, yeah. Hearing Dave's pick, I don't like mine, but I'm going to go with the Illini here. I'm not going to leave Scott on that island. I feel like when you take two really good running backs, two really good defenses, I think Illinois has got a good shot if Chase Brown's healthy. Would not be surprised if Michigan wins this one rather soundly, but I think regardless of what the win might be for Michigan, I think Illinois covers the spread.
As you entertain which panelists to pick, keep in mind Scott and Spencer are in the lead right now in the
yes.
season standings.
That is true.
And I'm coming off a 1-5 week, so stick that in your pocket. All right, game two, and I am up. It is Big 12 play. TCU favored by 2.5 points at Baylor. If one of you guys can help me figure out Baylor, I'd appreciate it. It's one of the weirdest teams in the Big 12, if not in the country. Very capable. Very, very capable. And this is pretty high ground for TCU. On the road, I'm going to take the home team, that being Baylor, and getting 2.5. Dave.
Odds makers have yet to believe in this TCU team. The Horned Frogs are just one of four undefeated teams and ranked fourth in the latest college football playoff ranking. This will be more of the same this week, where TCU covers against a 6-4 Baylor team. The Bears are not the same team it was a year ago. Baylor was 12-2 and won the Big 12 championship. Six of their players were selected in the 2022 NFL draft. Last week, TCU showed what they can do against a good Texas offense and kept the Longhorns out of the end zone. The Horned Frogs can win and cover by just a field goal. So give me TCU here.
Okay, Spencer.
You and I had kind of the same thought. My first thing I wrote down for this game was, can anybody figure out, not just Baylor, but the Big 12 in general, just when we think we know what's going to happen, something weird happens, like last week where K-State just went in and absolutely pounded them. So it's like, can we figure out exactly what's going to happen in this game just when we think, you know, one thing's going to happen, I think the other thing happens. That said, I think the Horned Frogs showed us something last week in Austin. They can win with defense. They only scored 17 points in that one and still pulled out the victory, held Texas and Bijan Robinson especially to a very low rushing total in that one. I'm rolling with the Hypno Toads. I think they win on the road and they cover.
Does Scott put me on a Waco Island?
Yes, he does. He has TCU at 2.5.
All right, so be it. Game three, Dave. You are up first. It's we remain in the Big 12. For Bedlam, Oklahoma State at Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State getting 6.5 points.
When Oklahoma State quarterback Spencer Sanders is in the starting lineup, the Cowboys are maybe the best team in the Big 12. Mike Gundy gave Sanders a week off to be ready for this game. When the Cowboys were behind in the Cyclone game, Sanders came off the bench and led them on a touchdown drive and a 20-14 win. The Sooners have two wins in Big 12 play, Kansas and Iowa State. Oklahoma is leaving for the SEC soon. Bedlam is what it's all about, and this game is what Gundy and the Cowboys are thinking about. The Sooners have been below average all year, and they're coming off an embarrassing 23-20 loss to West Virginia. The wrong team is favored here. Give me the points.
Oklahoma State it is. Spencer.
Oklahoma's had some nice offensive performances from Gabriel and Eric Gray and some of their receivers. Mm. It's just their offense, or their defense, excuse me, can't stop anybody. Even with how messy Oklahoma State looked last week against Iowa State, I think the Pokes win and they cover and they send Oklahoma into another week of gnashing of teeth and wailing.
Okay, Scott.
Scott has Oklahoma State also at 6.5.
Boy, I have some ground to make up, but I have to stick with my conviction. I think Oklahoma State's the better team here, and I think it's a lot of points. I'm not going to go on an island here. I'll go with you guys and pick Oklahoma State. Game four, night game, I believe, in the Rose Bowl.
Yes.
USC and UCLA. Personally looking forward to this game an awful lot. USC favored by 1.5, Spencer.
Yeah, man, this one for the uniforms alone, I feel like, is one of the best games out there, with USC and UCLA both wearing their home jerseys out there on the field. Caleb Williams, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, two great quarterbacks. They've both been playing well. I like Caleb Williams and USC a little bit more. USC's defense isn't that great, though, so I could see this one, and the total reflects it being a shootout. So I'll give USC the slight edge as they look to keep their playoff hopes alive.
Southern Cal it is for Spencer. How about Scott?
Scott has USC as well at -1.5. We're just going to tie every week, I feel like.
Well, I'm going to go with UCLA here. You mentioned the total on this game is something like 75, 76 points, which in a game like that, it can go either way.
Mm-hmm.
And a rivalry game like this, and UCLA has had a bad loss or two, but I think it's very capable. I think down the road, USC is going to be a team nationally to be beaten. But I'm gonna take a chance on UCLA here. Dave.
The Pac-12 keeps shooting itself in the foot. We saw that last week when Oregon lost at home to Washington and virtually eliminated themselves from the college football playoffs. Also last Saturday, UCLA lost at home to Arizona. That means Southern Cal is the only hope left for the conference. But the wrong team is favored here. UCLA at home should be a 3-point favorite. Add that to the Southern Cal cannot stop the run. Give me UCLA on the points.
All right. Game five. Texas Tech in a frigid game at Iowa State tomorrow night. Iowa State favored by 3.5, and Scott is up first.
So this is a predicament. I am looking at his sheet. There is no pick made for this game. I don't want to show you. I kind of have to show you just to prove. I'm going to verify that. Texas Tech or Iowa State picked on this list of games. So how do we work this? He did not write down a winner for this game. Do we assign him a pick, or how does this work? It goes USC and then jumps right to Minnesota, the Minnesota-Iowa game.
Scott. I guess we will just catch up with Scott later, and you as a listener out there are just going to have to take a chance.
Yeah.
That Scott picks the right team. I don't know any other way to do it.
I think that, yeah, that's how we do it, because we have no way of getting his pick.
No.
So, all right. There we go.
All right. That brings it to me. I think Iowa State has a lot of motivation here. Needing to win two games to get bowl eligible, it's going to be tough that last game against TCU, senior night, on and on and on. But I like the hook in this game. Tech has motivation as well to get to a bowl game with another win.
Mm-hmm.
3.5. I'm going to ride with Texas Tech here. Dave.
I keep thinking this is the week the Cyclones bounce back. They're in every game, just have trouble finishing the game. Once again, I see Iowa State winning this game. Xavier Hutchinson will have his best game of the season as one of the best wideouts in the nation. And add to that, Texas Tech has been struggling on the road. Give me the Cyclones to win and cover, keeping their hopes for a bowl game alive for one more week.
I forgot Texas Tech has never seen its breath before, so. Spencer.
Backs against the wall game for Iowa State. They need to win out to get to a bowl. And I think, you know, out of the two games they have left, this is their best opportunity for a win. I think the weather plays in their factor because, like you said, Texas Tech probably not very used to 16 degrees and frigid temperatures. I'll take Iowa State at night on senior night at Jack Trice.
And we will catch up with Scott. Trust me, he'll make a pick.
1083 had an interesting idea on the text line. Whoever picks Scott gets to pick the team.
Ooh.
Should we do that? This is great radio.
This is unprecedented.
For the record, I did double-check my email just to make sure Scott did not send me that pick later, and he did not.
While it's a great idea, I don't think that'd be fair to Scott.
Yes. Because I don't know what he would think.
Yeah, because there's so much at stake
right.
on this live tour of football picks. we'll just get a pick from Scott.
Yeah.
How about that?
There you go. We'll do that.
Last game and the tiebreaker is at Minnesota. Iowa getting 3 points at Minnesota and... The tiebreaker is Mo Ibrahim's net rushing yards in this particular game. And I'm on record as saying this is a 17-10 Iowa victory. I said that before I noticed there were going to be 15-17-mile-an-hour winds. Mm. But I don't think that tempers my thoughts a whole lot. I'm riding this Iowa defense and special teams until I see that it can't be done anymore. So... I'm going to go ahead and take Iowa. Ibrahim averaging 140 yards rushing a game. I'm going to say that Iowa cuts that down a bit to 125. Dave.
Iowa is a better team right now than Minnesota. Minnesota has won 3 straight games. The 3 wins have come against Rutgers, Nebraska, and Northwestern. Those 3 teams have amassed a combined 8-22 record. The Gophers have not beaten an FBS team with a winning record this season. Defense travels, and Iowa's defense will make it difficult for a one-dimensional Gopher offense to move the ball. The wrong team is favored here. Iowa has won 7 games in this series and 9 of the last 10. Give me Iowa in the points. And for Ibrahim, 103.
Did you say 103?
Yes.
103 for Dave. Okay. Spencer.
Defense and special teams are the difference in this game. If Kelly McManus, the freshman quarterback, does indeed play for Minnesota, I think Iowa's got an opportunity to get some turnovers, get some pressure on the quarterback. I think it's pretty similar recipe to what we saw against Wisconsin last week. Gotta execute when you're given those opportunities, especially if the defense sets up the offense with a short field. I think they will. I know I'm on the record on the podcast as saying Minnesota 14-10. However, I think Iowa, in truth, is going to win the game 14-10. So I'll take the Hawkeyes and the points.
And Ibrahim's rushing total.
110.
110 it is. And Scott, he didn't forget this game, too,
did he? Not. He has Minnesota at -3.
Minnesota.
And 125 for Ibrahim.
That's what I had.
Oh. He has 125 yards rushing. We're on a roll here.
Most unusual picks,
man,
in history. It really comes down to the tiebreaker anyway, so... If Scott and I tie, we'll flip a coin.
There you go.
How about that?
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it live here in the studio. So,
Dave, have a great college football weekend. Okay, man.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Dave. Dave Alec joining us for the Pick 6 here on KGYM, and we need those 4 contestants here for the Pick 6 at 319-366-1600. What are the rules again? If you've been a contestant within the last.
Couple three weeks.
Mm-hmm. Just hold off. We ask that you hold off so we get everybody a chance to get in on the fun. But give Ben a call. Make sure you stay on the line if you're on the line because it takes a while to get the information from the people that are here that are on the phone lines. But we thank you for your participation as well. And We'll sort out the pick snafu on Monday. I swear, I double-checked. You saw me with my phone in my hand. I was looking at the email that he sent me just to make sure he didn't attach something at the end, and there was no pick for that Iowa State game in there. So it's a rather unusual unusual instance of the pick six here with no pick from one of the one of the panelists here on the show. But that is how the cookie crumbles sometimes.
We will sort it out, much like these games that we just picked.
Absolutely.
We'll sort themselves out.
Absolutely. Iowa and Minnesota tomorrow at 3. Iowa State and Texas Tech at 6. We've got coverage of that game starting at 4 tomorrow on Learfield, or courtesy of Learfield Sports here on KGYM. Mark, good to be working with you again. We'll see you Monday.
Been fun, Spencer. Talk to you then.
All right, Todd and Alex coming up. Scott Docterman joins them at 5 here on KGYM.